7 o'clock, ladies and gentlemen. Let's call this meeting to order. Good evening. I'd like to welcome everybody to the Simple Actions Group of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is David, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, David.
For those who care to join us, let's have a moment of silence to do with as you wish, followed by the Serenity Prayer. God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Amen. The Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance this evening. This premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use this room and the restrooms exclusively, which are across the main foyer and up a small flight of stairs. At this time, please silence your cell phones. Also, we respectfully ask those present to please refrain from unnecessary moving about the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. This group practices the spiritual foundations of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. As a group, we believe that Alcoholics Anonymous provides alcoholics with a set of clear directions on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of simple actions. These actions are contained in the book, Alcoholics Anonymous. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of AA's simple actions. I'll now read the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open, big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting on the step discussed tonight. And before we start the discussion on step 11, we always like to say that we're not here to teach. We're not experts on the big book. We're not here to do AA history or any of that kind of thing. We're just alcoholics who want to share our experience, strength, and hope on the step as it comes from the book, the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. That's all we're really trying to do. That's why we're here. And so tonight we are going to do step 11, and we're going to start on page 85. I'll read the paragraph, and Doug M. from Hampton has been kind enough to join us tonight. So welcome, Doug.
Thank you.
What did I say? 85?
Yep. At the bottom.
All right. Step 11 suggests prayer and meditation. We shouldn't be shy on this matter. Better men than we are using it constantly. It works if we have the proper attitude and work at it. It would be easy to be vague about this matter. Yet we believe we can make some definite and valuable suggestions. When we retire at night, we constructively review our day. Were we resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Do we owe an apology? Have we kept something to ourselves which should be discussed with another person at once? Were we kind and loving toward all? What could we have done better? Were we thinking of ourselves most of the time, or were we thinking of what we could do for others, of what we could pack into the stream of life? But we must be careful not to drift into worry, remorse, or morbid reflection, for that would diminish our usefulness to others. After making our review, we ask God's forgiveness and inquire what corrective measures should be taken. Mr. M?
Mister.
Yeah. You got an upgrade.
Yeah, I did. I'm Doug Mayo, and I'm alcoholic.
Hey, Doug.
And I've not been accused of being a low talker, so if I get too loud, somebody say, hey, tone it down a little bit. I love step 11. It's probably one of my favorite steps. They're all good, don't get me wrong. I love them all because they all saved my life with what they did. Step 11, though, I remember about 9 years sober, I wasn't having any fun. And life didn't seem to be so great. And I was wondering what in the world I was doing wrong. I was going to meetings, went to meetings all the time. And it dawned on me one day that maybe I need to do a little spiritual growth. And the best spiritual growth I got was from step 11. It tells me how to live my day. It tells me how to do what to do at night. It tells me what to do when I have decisions to make or problems to face. And it has definitely saved my life. It turned my sobriety walk around. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I've had several, I guess you'd say, plateaus in sobriety. At the ninth year, when I started getting real active in the 11th step, I actually went back to church, which I hadn't done. My father was a minister, and I had enough of church, and I didn't really want to go back. But I'm so glad I did. It really did help my sobriety. And all those things that I had built up inside of me about church were wrong, because it was all my thinking, and I had an alcoholic mind. My thinking gets me screwed up. So I had to do something different, and I'm glad I did. I went back to church. I started doing things. They even let me teach Sunday school once in a while now. But that's been a few years. It takes a while. This telling me what to do at night when I get done from the day, you know, do I owe an apology? You know, I'm sure I did. Today, not so much. Now, I can get out of line, and when I'm out of line, I know it. Because, you know, this program teaches me how to catch myself. And when do I owe an apology? Probably sometimes. Yeah, I probably do. But for the most part, I try to keep my conversation and whatever at a level where it shouldn't bring up any problems. Doesn't mean that it won't, but I try my best not to. I've practiced this thing over and over and over. And I believe in Alcoholics Anonymous because I believe that it takes... But this alcoholic, I don't know about anybody else, it takes a lot of practice. I can't just do it once and say I've done it. I can tell you right now, I can read the big book today. I read this thing 5 times today, and I probably need to read it again from page 85 right to the end of the chapter. Because I can always see something different in it. And I can forget something just as quick as I read it. I don't know whether maybe drugs did that. I don't know. But sometimes, you know, that's all we do at my home groups. We do nothing but the first 164 pages. And I ought to know it by heart now. And it's been many years we've been doing this. But I still, every time we sit down and do it, I see something different. Something stands out. They changed it. They did something different. You know, I used to say they changed the book overnight, and I missed it somehow. But I love that, how it tells me, was I thinking of others? I guarantee you, I ain't much, but I'm all I think about. I wish I could tell you that I'm a saint and I go out and I'm thinking about you and you and you, but 9 times out of 10, I'm not. What's going to happen with Doug this, you know, right next few minutes and whatever? I try to stay out of that. In fact, every morning my prayer is, Lord, take me away from self. Let me get rid of self today, my selfish, self-centered ways. Let me take those from me. And sometimes he takes them away. Sometimes they're still there. You know, I try, but all I can do is practice this and get better. You know, we said progress, not perfection. Because if I ever get perfect, y'all have my permission to kick my butt and then put me 6 foot under. Because I don't need to be here if I'm perfect. I have to learn these things and work with them on a daily basis. And I've probably said enough on that. You go ahead and talk.
All right. I don't know, I was thinking of a couple of things while you were sharing. I was thinking, you know, when I was drinking and I really loved drinking. Drinking was good to me for a long time, and I wasn't in a hurry to give it up. You know, I loved what alcohol did for me. And it got pretty quickly into a place where it'd be a real fine idea for me to stop drinking. And that was when I met you guys for the first time, and you guys told me that I had this disease, you know, that was going to be fatal and progressive and over any considerable period of time was going to get worse and not better. And the things that I'd seen were just little shadows of the future, you know, that it was going to get worse if I kept going. And I rejected all that. And But I always intuitively knew that I needed to stop drinking. I really could tell that alcohol was in the way. Alcohol was keeping me from obtaining goals and getting the things I wanted out of life. And I got tired of dragging my bones through the day with my head hurting and trying to remember, keep straight all the lies I'd told and all that kind of stuff. And I think intuitively, if I stop drinking, I'm going to feel better, you know? And what I found out was when you stop drinking, you do feel better. You feel anger better and resentment better and hurt feelings better and people look at you funny and people fail to appreciate me when I'm not drinking. That's one of the feelings that I get. You fail to appreciate me after all I've done to you, for you. So then this whole idea of prayer and meditation, and my sponsor, when I finally did come and I finally surrendered, I'm like, look, I'm willing to do this thing. I'll walk this thing off. Meditation was very mysterious to me. I don't sit still well. I'm kind of a human doing. I like to move. I like action. I'm not comfortable really just sitting here contemplating stuff without being, without having some outside help on that chemically or otherwise. I just don't sit still well. And the first suggestion that I got in this regard was just very simply, David, meditation is just what you're thinking about. That's all your meditation is what you're thinking about. And then once I had that plugged into my head, I started driving around and noticed what I was thinking about. And it's usually me. And what I'm getting out of the deal and what's going to go, this isn't going to go right or that's going to go good I was telling John about something that happened at the gym today and it was just a silly little infraction with a human being, but man, it just swelled up and occupied all the energy that I had for the next several hours. And my phone rings, I'm like, I don't have time for that. I'm thinking about something, I got something I'm sorting out up here. You know what I mean? So it just asked me to do some very simple things. It asked me to think about, well, was I resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? And I have found, and this nighttime routine is probably my poorest of all of these. When I get to the end of the day, I'm interested in a remote in my hand, and everyone to leave me alone. I want to watch TV. I don't want to do anything. I don't want to think anymore. I don't want to answer any questions. But if I just sit down and read this, was I selfish, dishonest, or frightened? I can usually come up with several examples of that in my day. And do I owe an apology? Usually about right about that time, I'll say to my wife, hey, I was kind of snappy with you at dinner tonight. I apologize. I was thinking about myself. I was worried about the money, and you just got in the way. And it becomes sort of a habit to notice this stuff, and it becomes a habit to make that apology, or just to even see it, just to ask the questions. Was I kind and loving toward all? I mean, I don't know if I've ever checked that box. Yep. Sure was. In fact, I was the most kind and loving toward all that anyone could have possibly been. But if I start asking these questions, it starts becoming a working part of my mind. I love this part where it says, be careful not to drift into worry, remorse, or morbid reflection. That's my nighttime routine. I lay there and toss and turn in worry and remorse and morbid reflection, and it tells me not to. And I'm hoping it's going to tell me that so that I feel better, because that's all I really want. But it says, no, don't do that, because that's going to diminish your usefulness to others. Oh, others, I got to think about others again. And then it just basically tells me to do what it tells me all through the book, is just go ahead and say a prayer, David. Ask for forgiveness and ask to be shown what the next right thing to do is. So I'm like Doug. I have not, as of yet, been granted a perfect release from any of these so-called negative emotions. But here is some definite and valuable suggestions on what to do about them. So we're going to move on. It tells us what to do in the morning on awakening. Let us think about the 24 hours ahead. We consider our plans for the day. Before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking, asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. Under these conditions, we can employ our mental faculties with assurance, for after all, God gave us brains to use. Our thought life will be placed on a much higher plane when our thinking is cleared of wrong motives. In thinking about our day, we may face indecision. We may not be able to determine which course to take. Here we ask God for inspiration, an intuitive thought or decision. We relax and take it easy. We don't struggle. We're often surprised how the right answers come after we've tried this for a while. What used to be the hunch or the occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of the mind. Being still inexperienced and having just made conscious contact with God, it is not probable that we're going to be inspired at all times. We might pay for this presumption in all sorts of absurd actions and ideas. Nevertheless, we find that our thinking will, as time passes, become more and more on the plane of inspiration. We come to rely upon it. Doug?
Well, that's a mouthful, to say the least. I wish I could tell y'all I do this perfectly every morning. But today, basically, I just turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand. And I let it go there. I say, God, you take away my selfishness, my self-centeredness, and anything that was standing in the way of me being helpful. And when I do that and give that over to him, in fact, I will not leave my house. I don't care if I'm 30 minutes late for work. I will not leave my house until I've done that. I have a routine. I read out of my daily reflection. I read out of my other big book. And that's done before I ever leave the house, before I even fix my cup of coffee. And that, y'all know how I like coffee. That's unusual for me. But you know, if I didn't do that, I didn't force myself to do that, I wouldn't be sitting here today. I would not be sitting here today. Like I said earlier, everything takes practice, and that took practice for me. I had to make myself get up when I was working. I'm retired now. It's the best job I ever had. But I work part-time for a funeral home, so I have to be at work at a certain time when I work for them. And I'm used to getting up when I'm the days that I'm not working, whenever I want to. And I like that. Don't get me wrong. I enjoy that. But when I do get up, that's the first thing I do. I don't care if it's 8 o'clock or if it's 9 o'clock. I have slept till 10 sometimes, but I get angry when I do that. But anyway, I'm usually up by 8, and I try to do these things. Well, I do these things first. That's the first things I do. Because if I don't, I'll walk out of the house and then get down the road and say, oh, man, I didn't pray. Oh, brother, I didn't read my daily reflection. And all these things mean something to me, whether they mean anything to you or not, but they mean something to me. And that helps my day get started. It helps my mind get on the right plane. It gets rid of those wrong motives that we talked about earlier. Because my motives usually were self-centered motives. And 9 times out of 10, when I've got a motive, it's something that I want for myself. Now, I'm working tomorrow. I'm going to drive for a dealership up to Jersey and back. And it's not because I want to, but I've got something I want to do, and I want to go to Maine, and I want to have some extra money. So I'm doing that. Is that a wrong motive? I don't think so. But it could be if I got really overbearing about these things and worried about whether God's going to give me enough money or not to get to Maine. Then that would be a wrong motive. God has always blessed me with enough. When I went to Founders Day last weekend, it was a wonderful weekend. If y'all have never been to Founders Day in Akron, Ohio, put it on your bucket list because you need to go at least once, I think. That's just my opinion. It's awesome to see where it all started. And if you really want some spiritual experiences, go up there. If you sit in Dr. Bob's kitchen where Bob and Bill set together and put this program together, if you don't get any kind of spiritual awakening there, you're just not in the right place. It's just an amazing place to walk into that Mayflower Hotel, see that phone booth, see that bar, and to stand between it and knowing that if he had gone to the bar, I would not be sober today. Now, if that don't put... It got me so choked up. They had a meeting there, and they said the Lord's Prayer. I couldn't say it. I was so choked up over it. I get a little choked up thinking about it. I'm so glad he walked to that phone and made that phone call. He hadn't, none of us be sitting here tonight. And these are just little things that help me spiritually. And I'm open to that today. I'm open to spiritual experiences today. When I was drinking, I wasn't open to any of that stuff. I didn't go to church. I didn't want nothing to do with anything spiritual, so to speak. And it took a while for me to get into this program. I mean into it. Not just out there going to meetings. I had to get into Alcoholics Anonymous to get some of the benefits that come with the spiritual help and the spiritual awakenings that come along with working these steps. And this here, you know, it says we might pay for this presumption And when he's talking about this occasional inspiration and stuff like that. You know, I have those today. I have an occasional inspiration. Well, you know, Doug, you ought to go to this meeting, not to that one. And usually I find out there's a reason for that. There was a newcomer out there that needed something I could tell him. Or there was somebody there that I needed to, that said something that I needed to hear. It works both ways. And these things, if somebody was talking about it the other day, that they think Jim Jones may have been in Alcoholics Anonymous, the fellow that had them people drink the juice and die. And they believe that he probably took this presumption way too far. You know, I believe he did too. I wouldn't have followed him to the ice cream store, much less down the road. But, you know, we can get these things early on. Now, I'm just saying early on. I think once we've been around a few years, a few 24 hours, we realize that these things come on occasion and that they're not like everyday things, at least not for me. It may be for somebody that's more spiritual than I am. I don't know. But that's a personal walk, and I can't tell anybody how to walk that. But I do get sometimes some type of inspiration inside of me that says, do this instead of this. And usually when I do that, it works. It's something that God wanted me to do. Now, I don't say God talks to me, you know, just a loudspeaker comes on and do this, Doug. I wish it did. But that's not the way it works. It tells us down here, and this I love. I wish more of my sponsees would read this. It says, we ask God for inspiration and intuitive thought or decision. We relax and we take it easy. You know, I've seen people almost go back out and drink because they can't relax and take it easy. Just sit back and think about it for a few minutes. Don't jump out there and make a quick decision. Don't struggle. Quit struggling with what God's will is. I don't know what God's will is, but he'll push me in the right direction for it. At least that's my experience. He's always pushed me in the right direction. You know, I can't go through this without telling something that was funny to me. This weekend, that past weekend, they had an old-timers panel. And you had to have at least 30 years to be on this old-timers panel. And the first guy got up there, and he had like 32 years, I think it was. And he said, you know, in over 32 years, I haven't had to pull up to a mailbox and order a Big Mac. He says, in over 32 years, I haven't brushed my teeth with Preparation H. You know, these were things that were just cracking me up. I don't know about y'all, but I very easily, if Preparation H had been around, I probably could have picked it up and thought it was toothpaste and, you know, ended up like that. It didn't happen, thank goodness. But, you know, these are things that I love about Alcoholics Anonymous. Even him, 30-some years, he ain't no more perfect than I am. The years don't matter. It's the quality of the sobriety that matters. And how am I serving the God of my understanding? Am I doing it on a daily basis? Am I not? I try to do it on a daily basis. I wish I could tell you it all perfect, but life is good. That much I can tell you. I love my life today. I don't deserve what I've got today. If I deserved it, then I wouldn't appreciate it. I really wouldn't, because it's by God's grace I have these words to go by. It teaches me how to live my day one day at a time. And I'll let you come from there, Charlie.
Well, while you were sharing, I was just thinking about conversations that I had with my sponsors in early sobriety, and he would say stuff to me like, David, you're a smart guy, aren't you? And I'd be thinking, you know, I'm finally getting the recognition I deserve, you know?
I know a sponsor, by the way.
You're a smart guy. You like to have answers, you know. And it was a sponsor who said to me, you know, David, a guy like you, if God himself came down and revealed himself to you and explained your plan or his plan for you for the rest of your life, you would argue with him. And I'm thinking, well, of course I would argue with him. So I was thinking too that my morning meditation, this is great for all us healthy, health conscious people. My morning meditation life is much better when I'm smoking cigarettes. I get a pot of coffee, man, I'll get a half a pack, and I'll smoke a half a pack and drink a pot of coffee, and I'll be in prayer the whole time. I'm just ready to levitate, you know. But I haven't smoked a cigarette in about 6 months, so I hit the ground running in the morning. But what it looks like today for me is that I roll out of bed onto my knees. I do some version of the third step prayer, some version of the seventh step prayer, some direct asking of take my will and my life, Father. Just show me, guide me, teach me, take me, use me, I'm yours. Some days it just sounds like reporting for duty, sir. You know, just show me what you want me to do. And then I try to do this thing where I'll just sit on the edge of the bed and get quiet for a minute and just kind of think about the time that's coming. I don't usually think about the 24 hours ahead, but I think about what I'm about to do for the next 8 hours. And just kind of relax into that and imagine myself doing that. And that's about it, you know, as I go through. I just offer myself to him, imagine going through it in the ways that it describes, in kind and loving and thoughtful way. And then I go about doing the day at that point. I love the relax and take it easy too. The other thing that I'll do in the morning is I get on the phone. I just start calling other alcoholics, and that takes care of a lot of this stuff. You know, if I have an apology that I need to make or something to discuss with somebody immediately, a lot of that stuff kind of works itself out just talking to other alcoholics. And I was talking to a guy the other day, and I got to just tell him, I forget what the issues are, and I'll spare you all the details, but I said something to him that my sponsor said to me 1,000 times. He said, I just said, hey, nothing's on fire right now, is it? And I could just hear the guy on the other end just relaxing. You know, yeah, nothing's really on fire right now. Right now, everything's fine. Right now, I got a job. Right now, I got a roof. Right now, there's enough, you know? So we need each other. I need to show up in front of you guys to remind me what I've known and forgotten every single day. Relaxing and taking it easy is also an option. I don't have to solve like I like to solve things like that. So I don't know if I claim the I do know the difference between I think I most of the time I can tell the difference between inspiration and my will, you know, because my will is usually there's some fear attached with it. There's usually some adrenaline attached with it. There's usually some it's not going to go my way attached to it, as opposed to I don't even know if I've ever tried to describe it before, but I know what it feels like to be inspired. I know what it feels like to be glad to see a friend. I know what it feels like to intuitively to see someone who looks like they might need a word of encouragement and just walk up to them and say, hey man, how you doing today? I know what those things are like. And thank God AA gives us plenty of actions like that we can pay attention to if we just decide that we're going to be awake to that, that our primary purpose is to help each other. And why don't I go about trying to do that one day at a time? I find that all very inspiring, often. So we'll press on then on page 87. We usually conclude the period of meditation with a prayer that we be shown throughout the day what our next step is to be, that we be given whatever we need to take care of such problems. We ask especially for freedom from self-will, and we're careful to make no requests for ourselves only. We may ask for ourselves, however, if others will be helped. We're careful never to pray for our own selfish ends. Many of us have wasted a lot of time doing so, and it doesn't work. You can easily see why.
I used to, when I read this the first time I read that, I said, what do you mean? I've been brought up in church. You always ask God for everything, you know? If you got a problem, you get on your knees, you pray, you ask God. Well, and it kind of ticked me off when I first read that. I mean, what do you mean I'm only supposed to pray, you know, for others? I can't pray for myself, can't ask him. That's really not what it's saying. It's saying I can't pray for selfish means. I want a new BMW. That's kind of selfish. When I can't even afford the old Buick I got. You know, that's kind of selfish. I'm blessed with the old Buick. It's still running, and it gets me where I need to go. But I can sit there and get upset because I haven't got a red BMW. I can. If I let my mind wander long enough, I can get real upset. Why haven't you given me a red BMW? That's what I want. But now that I'm old, if I get a BM, I'm happy. If you know what I mean. I'm wondering if somebody's going to catch on to that. But anyway. But, you know, I can pray for anything. My God is good. He'll listen to me pray for anything. But if I'm praying selfishly, I know that. When I do it, and I have to stop. What I pray every morning is to get rid of that selfish, self-centered nature of mine. I wish I could say I'm cured of that. I mean, after 25 years, I ought to be a little bit better, but I still think about it. I'm still thinking about what's going to happen for Doug today. But when I pray, I do pray earnestly that he take away that selfish and self-centered nature of mine, that I might be of service to my fellow man, and first of all to him, and then to my fellow man. And I pray that if my words are used in whatever situation I might be in, that they might be his words and not mine. Now, I'm not saying that I'm praying that I'm talking God's words right now. I'm just saying that I'd be inspired to say what is right and what might reach someone out there that's suffering and doesn't understand some of the things that I've been given or David's been given or anybody in here has been here a few years and worked these steps. And you know, it's free. It doesn't cost a thing. If you want it, you can have it. That's what I love about AA. If I want it, I can have as much as I want, as long as I want it and go for it. But it's not going to be, you know, Ernest Angie's not going to walk up to me and slap me on the head. You're healed, buddy. Life is good. You can go on. You don't need AA anymore. I need AA as much today as I needed the day I walked in here. I need it because I'm an alcoholic. I have an alcoholic mind that if untreated, I'll go right back to the situations I was in. I don't want to live the way I used to live. I don't know about you. If you're happy out there drinking, fine. I wasn't happy when I got here. If I'd been happy, I wouldn't be sitting here. But I'm happy today. You know, the key is I'm happy today. And I'm pretty much happy every day. What it said earlier about you know, we're careful to fall into self-pity and stuff like that. How many of you would listen to somebody that's just crying the blues and they have maybe 30 years sobriety and they're boo-hoo-hoo-hoo, poor me? I wouldn't listen to them. I know a few of them got 29 years. I don't want a day they got. But that's their business. They want to live that way. I don't want to be sober, damn it. I want to be sober, happy, joyous, and free. And that is there for me. It's there for anybody in this room. If all I have to do is put into motion, take my mind out of it, and try to seek the mind of God. And when I do that, it seems to work so much better. Because I still have a lot of stupid thoughts. I don't know about you, but I get a lot of stupid ones and a lot of really weird ideas, you know. But God keeps me straight so I don't act on those things. And when I pray that prayer, I mean it. You know, every morning when I leave the house, when I pray it. I'm not praying it as a habit. I'm praying it because I mean it. I want God's will for that day. And I don't know. I'm happy tonight, so it must have worked today. You know, I don't feel like I've made anybody mad today. Of course, most people I deal with are dead, so I can't make them mad too much. You know. Life is good. That's about all I, you know, I probably said enough. Go ahead, David, talk some more.
You're just lighting me up. I mean, I was a young man when I got here to Alcoholics Anonymous, and it wasn't the handsome group of people that I'd see sitting before me. It took a while, it seemed like, to find other people that were my age. I know there's a fantastic, but I have not heard the sober damn it phrase in 20 years. And that's what we used to call the old timers. It was like, oh, that guy, he's a sober damn it. He ought to tell his face about gratitude, you know? Man looks miserable, for God's sake. He's a sober damn it. Sober damn it. You know, this, again, this paragraph gives me the invitation, and it kind of supports that idea that this meditation is just what I'm thinking about, because it asks me all throughout the day to ask the Father, take my thoughts, take my actions, give me the strength to meet this problem. So the invitation is there, and again, the idea is like, am I practicing it? You know, because I say it all the time, but I'm my favorite go-to guy. You know, when I got a problem, I consult myself. What do I think about it? How am I going to solve it? You know, and that's just the way my mind works, and that's how I live my life. And it's usually from banging my head up against the wall of self-will and trying to solve the problem so many times and experiencing that pain that I'm more willing to go to the Father in prayer in these times, you know, of frustration. And those statements that close, like the one that closes the paragraph, many of us have wasted a lot of time doing that. It doesn't work. You can easily see why. And it secretly frustrates me because I wouldn't admit I read stuff like that. I'm like, I can't easily see why. I'm gonna have to ask somebody about this. It's not obvious to me, you know. But again, my sponsor always kept that stuff simple. It's like, David, your prayer life is your own. It's a God of your own understanding. I was told that God ain't Santa Claus, you know, and that you know, our real objective here is to be of use to other people. And God's going to give us what we need to do that if we're willing to do that. And all we have to do is ask. And it just impresses me how it just invites me to do that almost constantly throughout my day. So, I will press on now on page 87. If circumstances warrant, we ask our wives or friends to join us in morning meditation. If we belong to a religious denomination which requires a definite morning devotion, we attend to that also. If not members of religious bodies, we sometimes select and memorize a few set prayers which emphasize the principles we're discussing. There are many helpful books also. Suggestions about these may be obtained from one's priest, minister, or rabbi. Be quick to see where religious people are right. Make use of what they offer.
I like that particular, especially the end of that. Be quick to see where religious people are right. I wasn't very quick about it in the beginning. I really wasn't. Like I told you, my dad was a minister. My mother taught Bible. We were in church every day. Every time the doors were open, we were there. And I was so fed up with it, I didn't want to hear nothing about it. And I wouldn't give them the open-mindedness that required me to learn something. So it's hard to learn when you got everything blocked off. But it reminded me of a story. Forgive me, David, but there was a fellow that really wanted to get sober, and he didn't know anything about Alcoholics Anonymous. So he decided to go to church to get sober. And he prayed with the preacher and all that, you know, and he got sober, stayed sober for a year. Long time. And then all of a sudden he went back to drinking, and for about 2 years he proceeded to tear his life down. Just tear it up. Lost the wife, lost the house. You know how we do. And finally he ended up in Alcoholics Anonymous. And he got sober in Alcoholics Anonymous. Been sober for about 2 or 3 years, and he walked in one day to a mall, and there happened to be the preacher that had helped him get sober before. And the preacher said, "John," said, "I haven't seen you in a while." I said, "How you been?" John said, "Been doing great. Man, I'm sober in Alcoholics Anonymous 3 years now, 2 years, whatever it was." He said, "I'm happy. Life is good." He said, "I've never been happier." And the preacher said, "Well, John, we miss you at church. Why don't you come on back to church?" He said, "Well, preacher says, y'all got hypocrites in church, and I don't really want to go back to church for all them hypocrites." And the preacher looked at him and said, "Well," said, "don't y'all have hypocrites in AA?" And he thought for a minute and said, "Yeah, we do, but we can smell ours." I'm sorry, I had to tell it. I just had to tell it. But anyway, when I went back to church, and I'm not trying to proselytize from my religion or anybody else's religion. I'm just talking about what happened with me. When I went back to church, I started listening to what they had to say. I started reading that other big book for what it had to say. And before I read that other big book, I would pray that God would open it up to me. And so far, he has. I pretty much stay in the New Testament. The Old Testament gets kind of funky sometimes, and I don't get a lot out of it. But thank goodness my dad, if I have a question about the Old Testament, he's familiar with it. And I just go, he's 91 years old, but still have got a sharp mind. And all I have to do is pick up the phone and say, what happened to Abraham or whatever, and he knows. But I have found that these people got a lot going on. They don't have a disease of alcoholism. They all have problems now. To think that I go to a church where everybody there is perfect. No, we all have problems. They might not be alcohol. They might be eating cake. You know, who knows what it is. But we had a class for a long time for people who had any kind of problem. And it was based on 12 steps and taken out of the Bible. And it's very interesting. And in fact, most of y'all probably know that the book of James is pretty much the story of Alcoholics Anonymous. There's a lot of things in James that contributed to our steps. And we got to realize that Bill had a tremendous spiritual awakening, not the type I had. I had the educational variety, I guess. But Bill had a flashing light. He really, truly had one, a burning bush or whatever you want to call it. And I'll tell you, there's a fellow over in our area named Barry, and we all love him to death. He's a retired Army officer and just a big, boisterous type fellow. He loves Alcoholics Anonymous, works the steps, and he does anything we ask him to do. Barry's just that type of guy. And Barry got up to speak one night over at Fort Monroe, which David's been over there and spoke before, and the meeting's still going on, believe it or not. And anyway, Barry spoke that night, and unbeknownst to him, behind him, you could see it if you were sitting, the windows are behind him, behind the speaker. And a bush was on fire right behind him. So we told him, said, Barry, you give us all a burning bush experience that night. little stuff like that happens, but, you know, God is good. If I don't listen to other people, how am I going to, help anybody else? I've got to listen to what they have to say. And believe me, I've been helped by many a minister, and by many a lay minister, by many of Sunday school class, fellow Sunday school class folks, and I've been able to help them too. Some of them had drinking problems or drug problems or other things. Just because they're not in AA doesn't mean that the problem's not happening out there in church. I'm quick to answer any call from my pastor if he knows of somebody that needs help. I try to do just that, try to help them. Doesn't mean that I go out and proselytize them, no. But if I can help them, guide them to a meeting, do whatever I need to do, I will do that. And I think it helps me more than it helps them. Because it puts me in the mind of trying to help someone else get out of Doug. And that's all.
We're such a fantastic group as a group. I mean, alcoholics are really by far the most interesting and tragic and hilarious and wonderful people I've ever met in my entire life. I love you people. And but you think about it, it's like we get together in the room and we discuss, all manner of criminality and brutality and sexual malfeasance of every order, and we all just nod, But you watch, there'll be somebody on the street going, "He talked about Jesus tonight. Can you believe that?"
Piss them off.
Yeah. So I love it. So anyway, but back to the paragraph. One of the things, and this, I'll make this comment because it's a demonstration of what a smart guy I am. There's an instruction in here where it says we ask our wives and friends to join us in morning meditation, and I was kind of raised around here to treat these like Jim Scarpine. I love the line that he uses. He says, you can read a cookbook and starve to death. It's like these are instructions. You got to do these things. You can wish for a cake and you can read about cake making all you want, but you're going to have to mix up some flour and stuff. So anyway, I'd asked my wife to join me in morning meditation, and we started doing that, for like a month, when we could. Not an extraordinary long length of time. But once again, I consulted myself, and I decided, you know what I'm doing is I'm imposing my will on her. She's probably just being polite, So I discussed it with my favorite person, me, and I came to some conclusions about it, and I decided, I'm just going to stop doing that, And she never said a word about it for about another year. And then she, one day, just apropos to nothing, she said, I really miss it. I really enjoyed praying with you in the morning. That was nice. And I thought, wow, I might have included you in that discussion. Didn't occur to me to do that. So I love the if we're members of religious denomination, which requires a definite morning devotion, it says we attend to that also. It doesn't say instead of, we attend to that also. And I'll just speak for myself, but I've certainly been around long enough to observe many, 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 many people come through here and make use of what's being offered in Alcoholics Anonymous, watch their lives change and transform, and watch them walk right back out the door again. Usually it's the money or the honey. It's usually a job or a romance, but it could be just about anything. But it seems to be one of the things I know, I'll just speak for myself, that I'm always looking for something else. You know, like after I've been around here for a little while, I start feeling like, yeah, I got the gist of this thing. I get it. You know, but I still don't feel very good. I must not have found it yet, you know. And so I start looking for other things. And I'm always looking for something. I'm always looking for the next it, next hit, the next thing. And I don't know if that's just something, I'm just throwing it out. I don't know if anybody relates to that, but it just says to do that in addition to. If you have an obligation to a religious body, by all means, attend to that also in addition to. But let's not get away from the simple actions of Alcoholics Anonymous. I have to remember who and what I am every single day, because that's the other piece of my disease, is I really want to slip back into the delusion that I am or presently may be like other people. Because Alcoholics Anonymous has given me a life worth living. I look like every other schmuck on the block, you know? I look just like the other guys, you know? Maybe I am one of those guys. Maybe I should go have beer with those guys. You know what I mean? I will follow that logical path. But I'm an alcoholic. I have a fatal, progressive, deadly disease every day of my life. Tells me I don't have one. I don't really need to do this. I get what you're doing, and that's good enough for me. I get it. So I have to continue to do this thing. This line that Doug pointed out, basically saying, be quick to see where religious people are right, make use of what they offer, that absolutely turned my mind around once I finally heard it. I don't know how many thousand times I heard it before I actually heard it. But all my life, all David's life, I've been quick to see where religious people were wrong. And I was happy to tell them about that. You know, I invested a lot of hours on a bar stool talking about the non-existence of God and why you were a silly, silly person to believe. And I wasn't about to recant all of that. You know, I mean, my simple pride wouldn't allow me to recant that. You know, I mean, because I don't know if I'm going to be doing this deal next week. You know what I mean? I don't want to paint myself into a corner. You know. But just that simple thing, just be quick to see where they're right. And as soon as I do that, be quick to see where these people were right. I noticed these people are putting pots of soup on. I noticed these people have their sleeves rolled up, they're banging nails and shingles and roofs and providing shelter for people who don't have the means to do that, feeding and clothing and housing their brothers and sisters. And they seem to be doing that with some joy. And you know what? I can get behind that. I think that's the right thing to do. And just the simple action of being quick to see where they're right, suddenly there's no fight anymore. I don't have to argue. I don't have to make you wrong. I don't have to be right. There's nothing to fight over here, you know? It's okay that you believe what you believe, whatever it is you believe. And nobody in Alcoholics Anonymous has ever tried to back me in a corner and tell me what I had to believe or quizzed me on what I do believe. We're pretty fierce about that being a personal issue, you know? We go together. And I love the line, make use of what they offer. Make utility of what they offer. Take action on what they offer. Once again, it's not a theoretical exercise.
Before you get into that last thing, talking about morning meditation and prayer. I'm not married, so I don't do it with my wife, because there isn't a wife. But my stepmother and my father, they've been married for 38 years, I believe, now. And I can remember it when my mother was still living. Every morning they had morning devotions and they prayed. And I noticed that when I moved in with my folks, since they're both in their 90s and they need somebody there in case something happens. And I noticed that every morning they still do their morning prayer, meditation, they read the Bible, whatever. And they do it every night. And I asked my dad, I said, you know, I understand doing it every morning because I do that too. I think it's great. It starts my day off. But why do you do it every night? And he looked at me and said, buddy, I'm studying for finals. I understand that now. I fully understand.
Okay, so continuing on page 87, as we go through our day, we pause. When agitated or doubtful, we ask for the right thought or action. We constantly remind ourselves we are no longer running the show. Humbly saying to ourselves many times each day, thy will be done. We are then in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. We become more efficient. We don't tire so easily. For we are not burning up energy foolishly as we did when we were trying to arrange life to suit ourselves. It works. It really does. Period.
Definitely. I agree with that sign. It works, and it really does work. But I'll tell you one thing. You can't work it by osmosis, or asmosis, so to speak. You can't just sit down here and think it's going to come. I've got to do something. I've got to take action. And the way to describe that, I'm no longer running the show. You know, each day we say to ourselves, or you know, and I do. I can only tell you what I do. But I find myself, I'm sorry, God, thy will be done. Even, you know, to myself, maybe not out loud. But, you know, I know that I want what he wants, not what I want. Because I found out through too much trial that when I do it myself, it don't work. And I had to keep convincing myself. You know, you talk about the insanity of the first drink. Well, this is the insanity of the first morning of the day. If I take off and try to do it on my own, I'm thinking my way is going to work. Never has. And I had to prove, and I don't know how many times it took for me to finally grasp it. And it took a lot of years, too, because I've got a hard, hard head. And for this to drift in and finally get into my brain and then from there into my heart, it took a while. It didn't happen overnight. But I know today, every time I think I got the answer, I better stop and ask somebody else. Because I know my mind works and how it works. And I generally screw up. I don't want to screw up anymore. I kind of enjoy living life on a pretty even keel. And don't get me wrong, I can screw up because I'm human, but I also know that God's in charge. And if he's in charge, he's going to turn that little screw up of mine into something positive eventually. And I'll tell you one story and I'll shut up. Back I had about 15 years sober. And I was working for a very good company. The owner of the company was a very good friend of mine. I loved my job. It was a wonderful job. I'd drive to New York probably twice a week, and I was a truck driver. And I enjoyed doing what I did. And you talk about a good place to meditate, sit in a cab of a truck for 8 hours. You'll meditate because you think a lot. You really do. And it was good for me. It was really good for me. And I got up one morning, and I said, you know, it's a beautiful day. I've told this story of one of those groups down the road, but it was a beautiful day. It was a nice day. And I said my prayers like I normally did. And I did the things I was supposed to do before I left for work. And when I got to work, it was nothing out of the norm. Went and started running errands. Sometimes when we didn't have long runs, we'd stay close and do short runs and whatever. And I was running errands for the office and for other folks. And I don't mind doing that. Didn't mind. You know, everything's fine. Day's lovely. And they called me from the office and said, Doug, would you mind stopping by a certain chicken place over here called Mosburgs in Portsmouth? Now, I love chicken. You know, I'll be honest, fried chicken is probably my favorite. If you want to get on my good side, give me fried chicken, because I love fried chicken. And I ordered me a little two-piece snack to go along with everybody else's order, and I brought it back to the office. Everything's fine. Everything's lovely. I deliver their food. I go over to my little spot where I had my lunch. I was starving by then. I was really hungry. And I can't remember being, you know, too lonely. I wasn't too lonely. And I wasn't tired. I mean, the day had just gotten started good. But remember, I've got an alcoholic mind. Keep that in mind. Even though I'm trying to do the best I can, I'm trying to be a good recovering alcoholic. Well, my boss calls me while I'm eating my little two-piece chicken snack. My immediate boss, not the one that owns the company. And he said, Doug, said you can't, you got to deliver this motor over to Norfolk. I think it was Metro or whatever. And it's got to go now. And I said, well, okay, no problem. I've got my little chicken snack here. And as soon as I finish it, I'll be right on my way. I'll go over there, pick it up, and take it over there. He said, no, can't eat. You got to go now. This alcoholic mind took over. He said, you can't tell me when and where I can eat my damn chicken. And I mean, I was hot. He said, no, you've got to go now. You can't eat it. I said, watch me eat my damn chicken. You can take this job and put it up your butt. You can take the motor. And I quit, and I walked off. Walked off a perfectly good job. My alcoholic mind said, you're not going to tell me. You don't know who you're talking to. You know, I still got that alcoholic mind. I wish I didn't, but it does pop up every once in a while. And you don't mess with my chicken, you know. I walked off, left a perfectly good job. Benefits, money was good. Everything about it was good. And even the president of the company said, what are you doing, Doug? He and I were good friends in the program, too. I said, man, you can't tell me I can't eat my chicken. I'll quit. And it was like noon. I walked over to a company down the road there and got a job, started the next day. The truck drivers at that point in time were very needed. And, I got home and I got to thinking about that. I said, that was really stupid, Doug. Number one, you know the president of the company personally. You could have picked up the phone and said, I'm having a problem here. Can you help me out? But I didn't do that. I didn't act like a recovering alcoholic to that. I was a dry, rampant, sober, damn it person at that point in time. But God is good. Even though the mess that I got myself into that day, leaving that job, I got the job back. I didn't have to work for the idiot that said I couldn't eat my chicken. And I got like a $10,000 a year raise. I got a company vehicle. I got a lot of stuff happened. God took care of it. But I can tell you right now, give me chicken now, I'm not quitting my job. I promise you, I learned a lesson from that. And, ain't nothing worth quitting your job over something like that. But to me, that demonstrated to me how quickly my alcoholic mind can go right back to what it used to be. I don't live that way anymore. And thank goodness I haven't had to quit a job over chicken since that time. I've had excellent jobs and I haven't had to walk away. It's just that God is good. If I allow him to be good, God is good. Thanks.
Thank you, Doug. That's going to conclude our sharing portion. We'll let Mr. Wilson have the last word here. We alcoholics are undisciplined, so we let God discipline us in the simple way we've just outlined. But that is not all. There is action and more action. Faith without works is dead. The next chapter is entirely devoted to step 12. So the way we do it in this meeting for the next 2 weeks, we'll be talking about step 12. So we spend a little more time on that one. We're going to pass the seven tradition basket. The seven tradition states that every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seven tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their intergroup and central office, local services, district, area, and the general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose to help the alcoholic who still suffers. The amount of our contribution is secondary to the spiritual connection that unites all groups around the world. Are there any announcements for the good of AA? John.
I am John, the alcoholic.
John.
I've had a lot of volunteers before, and I really appreciate it. If anybody else would like to volunteer, we can take as many as we can get. Please see me after the meeting. And most importantly, if everybody here can continue to spread the word about it, it's going to be great. I'm really excited about it. If there's anything that we could really help in, it'd be that. So look forward to seeing everybody.
Thanks, John. Yeah, think about coming to Gratitude in Action, and if you are coming, think about grabbing some people who might not normally come and put them in your car and bring them. Matt.
Hey, Matt. Wednesday, June 26th, we'll have all the fried chicken you can eat.
I'll be there.
That's attraction.
We have a homebrew meeting on West Princess Anne. Eating starts at 6:30, and the speaker from, what's his name again? Billy H.
Billy Hill. He'll tell you, you can remember it because it's Hillbilly. Billy Hill. That's what he says.
6:30, West Gap.
6:30.
He's a great speaker. Hey, Wild. Anybody else? Go.
My name's Kevin. I'm an alcoholic.
Kevin. Speak up.
I just want to let everybody know that there's a brand new meeting. It's in Virginia Beach. I usually don't rep Virginia Beach, but it's amazing. It's Sunday night. It's at 7 o'clock, and it's on the beach, on the sand, at 79th Street. So it just started yesterday. It was the first day. So.
Yeah. Got a point. On
79th Street?
Hi, Courtney. All right.
I got one quick.
Go, Doug.
I'm Doug Mayo. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Doug.
Most of y'all have heard of the Wakefield Campfire Conference. Well, it's coming. It's coming again. It'll be the 27th through the 29th of September, and just a great weekend of fellowship and spiritual growth, whatever you want to call it. It's a lot of fun. So, if you're interested in coming, you can get with me or David. David will help you out, and. We'll have flyers out, hopefully, starting Sunday night. We'll have some more flyers going around. So, look forward to that. Thank you.
Any other announcements? All right, the Simple Actions is a home group. If you're interested in joining our home group, please see one of us after the meeting. Home group members? All right. Is there anybody, just so we can get to know you by first name, just to welcome you, is there anybody in the room tonight in their first 30 days of sobriety? Let me just get your first name. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Welcome. Anybody else? All right. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you do not delay. Would anyone willing to be a sponsor please raise their hand? There's literature available back on the coffee table. Also, you'll find a couple of flyers. This group, the Simple Actions group, is having a supper and a speaker on July 8th. So that's a Monday, and there'll be a speaker at 7. So the meeting's going to be a speaker meeting. Nathan C. is coming down from D.C., so there'll be a meeting here at the normal time. But the other piece of that is at 6 p.m., we're going to have a potluck supper. So on July 8th, there'll be chicken if you bring it. If you bring it, there'll be chicken. On July 8th, 6 p.m., potluck supper right here in this room. Okay. Thank you, Doug. We'll thank everybody who participated. After we clean up, all are invited and encouraged to continue the conversation on the step discussed tonight, and all are welcome to attend the meeting after the meeting, which will be held at Plaza del Sol on 22nd and Colonial. Yeah? Until we get a better venue, that's the venue, right? And is anybody inspired to read the last two paragraphs on page 164? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Shall we close? We're all connected. Doug, will you lead us?
Whose Father?
Our Father,
who art
in heaven,
hallowed
be thy name. Thy kingdom come,
thy
will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread,
and
forgive us our trespasses,
as
we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not to temptation,
but deliver us from evil.
For
thine is the kingdom,
the power,
and the glory,
forever
and ever.
Amen.
All right. Thank you so much.